Gott, aber Gott nahm Hände von Geißel.
Was?
Ja, und würde ich sagen, ist das die gar nicht Nazi-Skizze, das andere Jüge. So, also, you can put up the Joshua 1, this is hard, that's a piece. So, you're praying for a piece is different in this little language. Because what you're trying to do is trying to find the vein that God is looking to play into for a group of people at a certain time. And in my quiet time, probably 3 weeks ago, God put this passage of scripture in my heart. And he spoke it to me with the whole church from coming. And he said to me, my son, I need you to be brave and courageous, bold and courageous. So I want to just read through the scripture, then we're going to set a little precedent of where it is, and then we're going to take it from there. So let's just read together. So Joshua, God is speaking to Joshua after Moses has died. The people of Israel are camped on the plains of the Moab near the Jordan River. They're ready to go there. They're ready to go there. This is hundreds of thousands. The numbers are difficult to know. Some say there's millions of people that are sitting on this river and ready to go in to take possession of the land. To go into their inheritance. You know that there's an inheritance for you. An inheritance for me. And there's an inheritance for us. And what I want to talk to you today is how we are going to take possession of our inheritance. So let's read what the Lord says to God. He says, I will give you every place that you set your foot, as I promised Moses. Your territory will extend from the desert to Lebanon and from the great river the Euphrates all to the dry country to the great sea in the west. No one will be able to stand up against you all the days of your life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will never leave you, and I will never forsake you. Remember that book, I will never leave you, and I will never forsake you. Next verse says, strong, be strong and courageous, because you will lead these people to inherit the land I swore to your forefathers to give them. Be strong and very courageous. Be careful to obey all the law my servant Moses gave you. Do not turn from it to the right or to the left, that you may be successful wherever you go. Another key one. And then it says, do not think of all the rules apart from your life. Meditate on them night and day, so that you may be careful to do everything what is in it. Then you will be prosperous and successful. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not be terrified. Do not be discouraged. For the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go. Alright, so that's a pretty cool promise. I'll say that. And I think if I had an army of a couple of 100,000 fighting men and women that were working, I'd be pretty much. I'd be like, yeah, let's do this. So, what I want to break down is three things in this scripture that our Father of the Lord said he wants to involve us, that he wants to share with us today. And he says to three times, be strong and courageous. Be strong and courageous. Be strong and courageous. That's the whole of the Lord. And each time there's a different reason. If you love this one, it's a different muscle. So in verse 6 it says, be strong and courageous because you will lead these people to inherit the land of the Lord to the ancestors of the world. It's not easy to lead. Everybody wants their inheritance. Everybody wants to take possession of the promises. Everybody wants what they feel is theirs. But Joshua now needs to lead millions of people into the promised land. And God knows that to lead is going to take all this bravery and courage. And he says to him, be courageous, because you will be so. And he knows that he is going to say courage. So let's have a know, it's just some of the credentials of the people that God's in the Joshua community. So, these are the people that celebrated when Moses led them out of Egypt. But then they walked with them when they got to the sea. And they, why did Moses set them up? They there and back in Egypt. You know, but then Moses ascended to the head of the door, so he gets the Ten Commandments, and he comes down and holds the farm. Because people worship idols. And he has to speak to them, he has to discipline them back, and there's some pretty harsh discipline that people need to learn from them. There's even a time when they're in the desert and there's no water, and they start getting angry with them. And they, all over the place of Moses, praise the Lord, and Moses is such a rock, the water comes out. So, now all of a sudden, you can start seeing why there's a need to be courageous to meet these people. Because he knows that, you know, the first time he gets wrong, he's got to come off him. And I want to say to you that they're coming to this church from the other day, a little verse from the second. Coming to the church from, I want to know you whatsoever. But as much as I love you, I want to give you Jesus every single second of the day. There's going to be a time when I'm not going to think you what you need. There's going to be a time when I'm not going to be able to. Spend as much time with you to live a life with you. Or perhaps you're really busy, I guess, last week you got to know with this all the school. There was so much accidents and other people visiting me from Sunnydale. I couldn't even say thank you to them for coming and serving me because we were running around and meeting things. Very busy to say, you have a case of that. And you go to the meeting, so I travel all over the world and come to some cases at that meeting that the distance to you. But and I want to encourage you again. Every single one of you. That God's called you as well. Now you might look at me and say, but Sean, I'm not in you. I don't have anything to do with me. And I will say to you, you look at the steps I've had so far. If you're an employer, I'm sure, you're a leader of people. You need a group of people. If you're a husband, leading your wife and your children. If you're a single mom, you're leading the next generation, children, your wife, and leading our future. If you're a single person or a student, you're leading yourself and you're leading other people that are achieving your life. Because people watch what you do, they don't listen to what you say. For you, the younger ones, you come into this brave new world. I'm so glad you're here. It's such a blessing to have you guys. You come into this world where people are looking for something real. They're looking for something that's authentic. So you can tell them a mission. You can tell them a gem. But how does your life look like? How are you leading them when they need this? How are you leading your friends? You know, suicide rates amongst teens and students and stuff like that start out. How are you helping things that are depressed? How are you helping things that are not to Jesus? You are leading, even if you don't get there. And your circle of influence might be slightly smaller, might be probably a one for now. But I can't believe that Kev shared this in the world for the last 16 years. And he says, whoever can be trusted with the very good can also be trusted with the very good. Whoever is dishonest with the very good. And while the context of this is obviously talking about worldly love, I believe that we can take that same premise and extend it to other areas of the world, such as leadership, such as courage. So I want to encourage you, I want to challenge you today, I want to commission you to show courage to lead yourself and to school kids. The colleagues, people in the community, and to all each other in Jesus, in every community, in every conversation. So that when they see you, they will worship you for you because you show them something that we can do. So, we go and the way it is. rápido. Destrói crentes que conservam uma cena de crença e uma cena de crença que lê o seu lado. Gênesis 6, 1, 2. E o Dr. Pedro, o Deus, lê exatamente caenas, a origem de tempos e de tempos de tempos. Reino de postos e sucesso. Mas ele é bom, mas escreve 6. Passar da terra. Os crentes gostam de sentir, né? Qual é o menino? É o Espírito da menina, né? É só que precisa lá. Ele quer que você fale com vocês mesmo. Sempre falam isso que é a explanation of the knowledge of all of us. It's because God expects us to be obedient. And obedience takes courage. It takes boldness. Some research that was from Nazareth, and you know, it's not popular to be a Christian. I don't know if you guys have noticed that, but I'm certainly seeing the world of the Torah is very anti-Christian. You know, you say you're a Christian, people look at your ears, and a hypocrite. They're going to say to you, no, I don't know if you're too many hypocrites. Or I think they're going to write me out either. So it's not a common time to be a Christian. And the good news is that it's not going to be a Christian. It's really not. So I had a look at all of this decision. I looked at an organization called Open Doors, or Open Doors, that they study persecution against Christians. And there's some interesting numbers just for the year of 2020. In 2020, over 340 million Christians, like you and I, are living in places where they experience high levels of persecution and discrimination. The prophecy can be taken of that because they have to pay a tax to the Christian. They need some of the struggles that they have. They have to pay a tax to the Christian. 4,761 Christians were killed in 2020 before they died.
How many of you have been asked for that? Then after he realizes this,
And in Mark, the translation, he says at the end of verse 8, he says, "Why do you serve the Lord? What can I say? Now that you show us the grass of us." So he realizes, hold on, I'm talking to God, so I'm going to just slow down a little bit. And he just takes a little bit of a football and just actually relax. And then he starts turning. He tries to manipulate what he says. All these things are going to come. All of them are going to come to us. And then what are you going to do to walk right now? Wow. Oh. Joshua? You're a great man. He's very great. Very gracious in talking to God. And I love what God says to him. It doesn't mean he's changing the way he sees it. He's a little locked down. I can picture Joshua sitting on the pulpit and speak. He doesn't take that. He says to Joshua, stand up. Why are you down on your face? Israel have sinned. They have violated my covenant, which I commanded them to keep. They have taken some of the most things. They have stolen, they have lied, they have put them with their own possessions. That is why the Israelites cannot stand against their enemies. They turn their backs and run because they have been made liable to destruction. And I will not be with you anymore. But hold on, there you are. Didn't God say, I will never be able to save you? Is God, is he bipolar? No. He's not bipolar, and I'm not being disrespectful. I'm trying to create something in mind. Well, I will not be with you anymore unless you destroy whatever among you is devoted to destruction. Okay. Now we're starting to get somewhere. Okay. So to this, this is something I can create for Christ. But God has given his promises. And I'm sure that for you are listening to this, that God has given you promises. And are we walking in our promises? Are we walking in the fullness of our promises? Or have we stopped? Have we shifted? You start your course and start being obedient to the Lord so that you can enjoy His life. Now, what I see from this is that the statement in our own lives, just like Joshua Adler, the statement in our own lives, what I see very often, just me, you guys are probably very good, it just means that. To get studied and start looking at what God has done. But of course, you have to call your parents. You said you're going to be a shepherd. You know, I don't know if I can trust you. I don't know if you know what you're doing. You know? And then, you start saying, so you look at God first, and then you kind of go inside that. And then we look at the Lord, what am I doing? And then, what's the problem with me? And now you start getting condemned. And what does that do? It doesn't lead us to the basis. It actually just pushes us away from God. I can't use this to the same. I can't have that time of war. I can't pray. I can't prophesy. I can't lead speak. I can't do anything because I'm sinful and dirty and shameful. God said, I'm here and that's in our lives. But I don't think that's the way. I don't think that's the way. Because if you look at the scripture that he gives today, he says, if you're obedient and you follow my rules, I will wish you will experience success. So I want to submit to you that one of the reasons why we need to be encouraged not to be discouraged is because at some point in our lives, every single one of us is going to have to look sin straight in our eyes. And this is not a sympathetic message. You don't hold churches preaching this. You preach prosperity. You preach the first one and then you stop. You stop. That's it. You will crush this today. You will crush this. No? Open the mouth and say, I'll help you. That's not the gospel. That's not what we hear so far. You really care to look at sin, square in the eyes. And say, action, you know what? I'm not going to deal with you. I'm done with you. Because I want to position myself. I want to position my family. I want to position this community for the blessing of God. So I deal with this. I deal with the things in me that were broken. I deal with the things in me that would seek to chase me from God. And I say that is the passion of God. The Bible says that if we confess our sins to each other and pray for each other, God is righteous to forgive us, and we will be healed. We will be healed. And we will be positioned. I want to say to us, as individuals, as a people, and as a church of God, if you're still in your life, you need to do so and move this. You have to. We've had leaders in this church. For those of you who don't know, this is the model of the generation of Joseph. We've had leaders that are leading congregations, positions like myself, which is certainly positions that have got mixed up with the knowledge. And have had to step down out of the leadership. They're not putting the naughty corner. Keep that in the rubber and then the hand goes fighting from the other goes, no, it's not like that. But put you on side with people around you to love them and to bring them to you, to make them feel safe, and to bring them back into a place of God that you can do. You are not a church that hearts are safe. You are not a church that pretends to be a purpose. It was another fault. You are a church that looks at ourselves. Lord, search me and know if there's any wicked thing in me within us, and let's go with it. I want us to be a people, and I believe that this is God's church, not our church. He wants us to be a people that are not about us. He wants us to be a people that are safe amongst each other, to be able to speak to him. Or sure, or she's up, or a resort, whoever you feel comfortable. It doesn't have to be. But go speak to somebody and say, hey, well, this is it, I'm showing you. And I don't want to be what they should say. I don't want you to be what they should say. God doesn't want you to be what they should say. The Bible says, he the Son says, there is a place for us. There is a place for you. For us to be free of what God has. And be free of what the enemy has tried to put in. And one of the biggest issues I've ever seen, one of the biggest issues in people's lives for not being able to sin is fear. People are going to judge me. People are going to mess up with me. People won't like me. People won't want to hang around with me. So, I'd like to say, maybe the real issue is not fear. Maybe the real issue is me. It's all about me. People are going to argue, I'll get less than you. They'll be able to do something to you. If you are a real Christian, it's giving your heart to you, it's dead. Dead. So, we just need to see him. So remember, I didn't live, but Christ lives in me. So I want to say to us, is it not more beautiful to try hard from all seeing, all knowing, ever present, omnipowerful, omnipresent God? And would it not be more beautiful for him to say to us, like he said to us, I don't think this is right. He doesn't want to give us something. And probably tonight, I think,